Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. While you're turning there, I'd like to begin with a story. A 14-year-old girl in a certain church looked and acted more mature than her actual age. She could have easily passed for a 17-year-old or older. The girl and her mother were faithful church members. The girl apparently had some wrong friends and been to some questionable places. One day this teenage girl came to church dressed very lewdly and immodestly. If the pastor hadn't known the girl so well, he probably would have let it go. But to him, her dress was an indication that something else wasn't right. And so after church, the pastor kindly talked to her and asked her just to consider the way she was dressed and asked her to consider the effect it could have on her own life and on her testimony, and also on the minds of the young men that was around her. Maybe the pastor didn't handle it right. Probably should have talked to the mother, or maybe the mother and the girl, but he talked to the girl. And on the way home from church, the girl told the mother that the pastor had talked to her and told her what he had said. Instead of the mother saying, "You know, honey, maybe there is something to what the pastor said. Maybe we should think about this or consider it. Let me interject here. Correction is important, even if it comes in the wrong way. If somebody didn't like you and wrote you a check for $10,000, drawn on a bank you didn't like to do business with, would you cash the check? When you get correction and it's from the wrong person and the wrong setting, cash the check anyway. Sometimes correction comes with all kinds of foolishness. So throw away the fool's gold and keep the real gold. Don't throw it all out just because 95% of it is bad. There is gold mixed in with fool's gold. There's gold mixed in with rock, of which is 99% junk. And that's why they have to pan for the gold. Anyway, the mother got upset and took her daughter's offense. She got angry at the pastor. That afternoon, she couldn't wait to get to the telephone and give him a piece of her mind. "You're not going to tell my daughter how to dress," she started. "And I want you to know that you've got problems too. You've got problems with your own kids." And the mother and the daughter left the church. Of course, the pastor felt bad about it. Weeks went by. He thought about them, prayed for them a great deal. And then about 2 months later, the pastor's phone rang. And the mother of the girl was on the other end of the line. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16? We'll finish that story at the end today. But I'm going to preach on a topic that I have never preached on before. And I have to confess, it is a difficult message for me to preach, because I'm going to talk to you about the consequences of living life without a pastor. Why it's important for you to have a pastor. I certainly would not stand up here today and exalt myself in any way, but I have no problem exalting my office. I feel the office of a pastor is very, very important, and I think everybody ought to have one. And if you don't, I just want to warn you of some dangers of not having a pastor. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message today. We pray for the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read some other verses at the outset here. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them all many things. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I want you to notice that there are two things that happen to these people. First of all, they were faint. They fainted. And secondly, they were scattered abroad. They were like sheep having no shepherd. Mark chapter 14 and verse 27, and Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I remember very vividly the day God called me to preach. I'd actually been resisting that call for quite some time. But the day I yielded and very distinctly heard the voice of God to preach, that particular day, he also called me to be a pastor. And you'll have to confess that I didn't know what that meant when I accepted that call. And I'll confess to you today that I'm still learning about what it takes and what it means to be a pastor. I don't know all that there is to the office, but I do know this. I know that God wants every Christian to have one. I'm not here today again to lift up myself, but I'm going to lift up this office. And I want to share with you this morning the consequences of living life without a pastor. First of all, there will be a spiritual hunger that cannot be met. There will be a spiritual hunger that cannot be met. God never started anything just so that he would have something to do. He started three great organizations. He started the home, he started the government, and he started the church. In the home, the Father is the servant leader. The church is similar. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, and ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. So there's this matter of a pastor being a servant leader, kind of like the leader in a home, like a father would be in a home. A pastor is not perfect, but he still is the earthly leader of the church. He gives direction. He gives guidance. He offers protection. And I'm just here today to say, let me help you. Let me help you. If there is anybody here today and you are looking for a church home and you don't have a pastor, I'm not trying to take you away from your church, but I am saying today that I would be willing and be honored to be your pastor. I would count it a great privilege. Let me help you with the problems in life. And maybe you go here to church here, but you don't really call on me when you have a need or a problem. I wanted you to know that I'm here for you. Let me help you. Let me help you raise your children. Let me be there when you marry and you see your children get married off, and when you lay your loved ones to the grave. I want to be with you when you rejoice with you when you rejoice, and weep with you when you weep. Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And by the way, this is the only verse in the New Testament that the word pastor is used in the way we think of a pastor. The particular Greek word here occurs 17 times in the New Testament. It's the only time it's translated pastor. It's usually translated shepherd. The first mention is Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Notice that people are called sheep, and sheep without a shepherd, they faint. The same Greek word occurs, same Greek word for faint, in Matthew 15:32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. Notice how weak they would be after 3 days of going without food and then sending them on the way. Jesus said, I wouldn't do that to them. They would feel faint. They would faint on the way. Sheep without a shepherd faint because they have no way to get the spiritual food that they need in order to survive. Do you know that there are people, there are Christians who are spiritually hungry all the time? They never have their spiritual appetite satisfied, not for 1 minute are they ever full spiritually. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15 says, And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. It is the job of a pastor to preach God's word and to give spiritual food to those that hear him so that he might impart to them through the words of God understanding and knowledge. You say, but can't I study God's word for myself? Certainly you should do that. But God knew that you wouldn't be able to get all the spiritual food you needed without a pastor, without a shepherd as well. You see, a shepherd knows sources of food and water that the sheep would never be able to find on their own. They would never be able to find these sources without his help. People tell me about a need. You know, this happens to me a lot. People will tell me about a need that they have, and I think to myself, and sometimes I even say it to them, you know, I just preached on that. I have literally sat at my desk in my office and had people call me with a problem, and I have pulled up my sermon notes on my computer, and I have read my notes to them. I had the answer for them. I had the spiritual food that they needed in church on Sunday, but they weren't there. I had the answer for them all the time, but they just weren't there. And they, you know, if you, let me just throw this in. If you miss a service, it's like missing a meal. And for that reason, we have the tape ministry. And we make it really easy for you. It's free. You don't even have to pay for it. If you miss a service, get a copy of the service. And they're caught up back there now, too, by the way. So they won't have too difficult time getting it to you. But if you miss a service, you're missing a meal. How many meals can you go without getting hungry and faint? Same thing happens to us spiritually. You're going to run into spiritual problems you can't solve. You will have a spiritual hunger that cannot be met. And by the way, I'm very concerned about the growth of what they call the home church movement. Many are involved, many wonderful people, godly people. And they get involved with this because they're trying to protect their families and so on. And the ones that I've talked to, they compare home church to home school. But they forget something. The church is a jurisdiction of its own. You have the home, you have the church, and you have the government. All three of those institutions are created by God. You can't have home church. That's like having home government. That's like having government church. And you look at it, whenever in history they crossed and the church and the government, and you see the wedding of the church and the government, it was always a mess. God meant for there to be jurisdictional lines between these institutions. There must not be a wedding of the home and the church. They are distinct lines of jurisdiction. And yes, there are some overlapping. And you know what? Some teaching can go on in all three of these. There's teaching that goes on in the home. There's teaching that goes on in the church. There's teaching that goes on in the school. We have home school. We have church school, Christian schools. We have government school or public schools. Teaching can go on in all three of those areas, but they don't replace one another. You don't replace the institutions. You keep the institutions separate. And yes, some overlapping takes place, and in many cases, you should be teaching. We should be teaching at church and backing up what you're teaching at home. I mean, that's the ideal thing. That would be the great thing. I like to have my kids, my children, listen to other pastors because I don't want them to think that I'm the only one telling them these things. I want them to hear that other people have these values and ideas that we hold to be so dear and true. Now, in many cases with the home churches, there is no pastor, and that's my concern as well. You can study truth and have fellowship, but you need to have a pastor who can teach and who could also preach to you. And I'm learning to be a better preacher because I don't want to be somebody who only teaches. I want to be able to preach to you, and there's a difference. I'm going to tell you that in just a minute. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." The pastor is to teach, but he is also to preach. Exhortation means preaching. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people." When a preacher preaches, he exhorts you. Did you ever consider how little preaching the average American gets? And there is no substitute for it. There's nothing that can take the place of preaching. One little boy went to his preacher and said, "When I get older, I'm going to give you some money." The preacher said, "Well, that would sure be nice, son, but I wonder, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to give me some money?" And the boy said, "Because my dad says you're the poorest preacher I've ever heard." Even if he's poor, you still need preaching. What is preaching? Preaching is exhorting. Preaching is truth with a tear in its eye. And sometimes I really dislike myself when I start crying at the pulpit. But I realize that that's part of it. Preaching is proclaiming truth with a tear in its eye. Preaching is knowledge that is set on fire. Preaching is truth that is informing, or teaching is truth that is informing. Preaching is truth that is transforming. Parents, you know, it's hard enough raising children today. You make it even tougher on yourselves if you don't have your children sitting in church under the preaching of the Word of God. You're going to do a whole lot better. Trust me, you're going to do a whole lot better with your children if you have them in church and somebody is preaching what you are telling them and backing up what you say. Teaching is breaking truth down to where it's usable. Preaching is challenging people to use it. You can have teaching without preaching, but you really can't have preaching without teaching. Teaching is delivering sentences of truth. Preaching, though, is delivering your soul. Let the preacher deliver his soul to you. Teaching is instruction for the mind, but preaching is construction for the life. Do you know what would happen in our country if Spirit-filled men of God walked into every pulpit and simply preached the Word of God? I think America would change, don't you? Because it's preaching that determines the moral consciousness of a nation. You can't get too much preaching. People don't get enough preaching today. Preaching has not always been popular, but it has always been needed. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 20, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as this custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book," this Jesus, "he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." Why? Because Jesus not only taught the truth, he preached the truth. He exhorted the people through the truth. And in one of the very first sermons ever recorded, Jesus himself used the word preach. I think it was at least three times there. And he showed them that there was a difference between teaching and preaching. When he got done preaching, he sat down. The people couldn't move. All of the eyes of the people were still fastened on Jesus. They said, "What authority? By what authority does this man speak?" What is the world's greatest problem? Sin. What combats sin? Preaching. Preaching against sin. One man sat in the front pew all the time. Pastor noticed that he had moved to the back. And after a couple of weeks, the pastor asked him about it. He said, "You know, I really miss hearing your amens." He said, saying amen to a preacher is like saying sick'em to a dog. I know, said the man, but it's hard to say sick'em when his teeth got a hold of your pants. Saying amen is motivation for a preacher, and a praying pew makes a powerful pulpit. See, the reason you need to pray for your pastor is not for him, though he needs it. The praying is for you, so that you will get what you need to hear from the service that day. That God will use the pastor to give you spiritual food so that you don't faint along the way, because people are like sheep, and sheep with no shepherd faint. Number two, there will be a scattering or the wasting of a life that you cannot stop. There will be a scattering or the wasting of a life that you cannot stop. Again, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. If sheep have no shepherd, there's not only a fainting, there is a scattering abroad. The Greek word for scattered occurs 7 times in the New Testament. It occurs in Matthew 27 and verse 5. And it said, he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. This is after Judas had betrayed Jesus. He realized the awfulness of what he had done. And he saw the blood money, and he didn't want the blood money anymore. And so he went into the temple and he tried to get the priest to take it back. They wouldn't take it back. So what did he do? He threw it down. He threw it at the feet of the religious leaders, and the money scattered anywhere, everywhere. That is the word that was used. It was cast down. It was scattered. Same thing. It refers to sheep as having no shepherd. When you saw those coins being thrown down and scattered a moment ago, that is the picture that God wants you to have of a family without a pastor. Cast down, scattered. Luke 4:35 says, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And when the devil had thrown him, same word as being scattered abroad. When sheep have no shepherd, Satan is able to throw them down. He scatters their life. People without a church, people without a pastor are more likely to be defeated by the gates of hell instead of attacking the gates of hell. Parents, could you have your children in church enough so that they would feel comfortable going to the pastor if they need him? You tell your children that if there is nobody else that they could ever go to, if they come across the problem, they could never go to anybody, you let them know that they could always go to their pastor. That he would help them, whatever the problem is, whatever the situation is. You see, we need to be familiar enough so that your children would be comfortable coming to me. Mark 14:27, and Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. If a pastor is destroyed, many families are destroyed. The word scattered here is a different Greek word. It occurs 9 times. One example is Luke 15:13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Here, the word is translated wasted. This young man wasted his substance. The consequences of living life without a pastor is a wasting of a life that cannot be stopped. The disciples are a picture. The disciples of Jesus were a picture. When Jesus was arrested, those disciples were scattered. They were scattered to the place where you could hardly find any of them. John was at the cross. Peter was warming himself by the devil's fire, following far away. Where was the rest of them? Where was the other 10 disciples? Who knows? They are like Christians without a pastor. I know of families that have left the church. I hear about how their family has been scattered over the years. Some of you know people who left churches, don't go anywhere. And you can look at their life and you can see a scattering of their life over the years. It may not happen right away, but eventually it will catch up. There will be a scattering of their life. The wolf catches some of them. Sheep without a shepherd are food for the wolves. Did you ever hear the story of the 7 little billy goats? Hope I get this story right. The mother goat had to leave her 7 little billy goats home alone. The big bad wolf came along and said, "Let me in." The billy goat said, "You don't sound like mama." So the big bad wolf went to the local bakery and bought some honey. He ate some honey to sweeten his voice. Then he came back to the 7 little billy goats and he said, "Let me in." The little billy goat said, "Let me in." I can't talk like a woman, but the 7 little billy goats said, "Sounds like mama." But one of them had the idea to look outside. And they looked out the window and they said, "You look like mama, or you sound like mama, but you don't look like mama. Our mama is white." So the big bad wolf went back to the bakery and he got some flour. And he poured some white flour all over him. Then he went back to the home of the 7 little billy goats and said, "Let me in." The 7 little billy goats said, "Sounds like mama." They looked out the window and said, "Looks like mama." So they opened the door and the big bad wolf came in. He came in and he ate them all. You see, when the shepherd is not in, the wolf gets in to eat the sheep. Everyone needs a pastor. Parents, your children need you more than anything, but they also need a pastor. A pastor can't replace a mother or a father, but he can reinforce a father's teaching. Why did Timothy turn out right? His mother and grandmother brought him to Paul. Tell your children that if they can't talk to anybody, they can always go to their pastor. Parents, don't let your young people, make them sit up close. Make them sit with you or have them sit up front. I think that's the best way to do it because they need to be close to the preaching of the Word of God. Have them sit with you or have them sit up front. They need the preaching of the Word of God. And don't, please, not for my sake, but for the sake of your children, don't ever have roast pastor for lunch. Because if your children ever need a pastor, they won't come to him. I would just ask, I would beg all of you today, really, I would beg all of you today to give me your heart. Because I really want to be your pastor. And I want to offer you protection, and I want to love you, and I want to be there for you. The simple truth of the matter is I cannot possibly spend enough time with every single one of you to win your heart. You would make it a lot easier on me if you would just simply give me your heart. And let us establish that relationship together. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." A pastor watches for your soul. There is dangers out there. There are wrong friends. There is pride. There is rebellion. Do you see the word submit there? This is the only time this particular Greek word occurs. And this is what it means. It means to yield your natural combative nature. The natural tendency is to fight with your pastor. The natural tendency is to fight against the truth that he might bring to you. But let me tell you, if it becomes difficult for your pastor to pastor you, then you are the loser. Remember the story at the beginning of the message? The mother and the girl left the church. The pastor's phone rang. It was the mother on the phone. Between sobs, she invited him out to the house. When he got there, the distraught mother invited him in. They went into the living room. The girl sat on the couch. The mother said words every pastor hates to hear. I hate these words. Pastor, I'm sorry. We didn't listen to you. No pastor ever wants to hear those words. The 14-year-old girl was pregnant by a 32-year-old man. They learned the hard way of Hebrews 13:17, for that is unprofitable for you. Unprofitability means a negative balance. Unprofitability means you lose. Unprofitability means you are in trouble. Unprofitability means your life loses. Unprofitability means you are in danger. Unprofitability means your life is not going to be what it could have been. Unprofitability means a negative return when it could have been a positive return. I'll give you a true story from my own life, my own experience. When we had left the church where we had been youth pastors and then associate pastors, senior pastor resigned. We resigned. We went our separate ways. And I remember sitting in my office before we left, and I was talking to one of the board members. And he was telling me about how they had contacted a pastor to come and candidate for the church. And I asked him about a youth pastor. And he said, no, I don't think we'll get a youth pastor because the pastor wants to have a secretary instead. He thought it would be more important. And I looked at him and I said to him, I think you really need a youth pastor here. And he looked at me and he said, you underestimate the strength of the church. Now, I know not every church can have a youth pastor, and that's not my point. That church could. They chose not to. And that's still their choice. But the pastor that they chose didn't last there very long. And while they were without a pastor, you know when it grieves me when churches go years without a pastor? It really does. It really grieves me. I know they're looking for the right man, but they don't realize the danger that they're in while they're looking. While this church was without a pastor, there was a girl in our youth group. She's the kind of girl that really needed a lot of acceptance, you know. And one day, a truck driver came into town. I have nothing against you truck drivers. I think you're great. But one day, a truck driver came into town and romanced her and asked her to marry him. And she said yes. Remember, there's no pastor to go to. There's no pastor for counsel. There's no pastor to marry them. And so he said, don't worry about it. I have a friend who's got a license to marry people. And he brought this girl before his friend, and this friend performed the ceremony. They spent a honeymoon together. The girl got pregnant. Later on, she discovered that they were never married. The whole thing had been a setup. The person who married them had never been credentialed, never had been licensed, did not have state approval to marry anyone. And I wonder to myself, would that have happened if there was a pastor there? I don't think so. I don't think so. Ladies, young girls, if your pastor won't marry you, then you need to consider the reasons why. Don't ever just rush off and go to a justice of the peace or go to somebody who will marry you. Find out the reasons why your pastor is hesitant to marry you. Let the guy who loves you, prays for you, wants only what's best for you, join you at the marriage altar. Life without a pastor, it makes you faint. Life without a pastor says that there will be a scattering or a wasting away of the life. The main shepherd everyone needs, however, certainly not a human, fallible, earthly one who is capable of making mistakes. Hebrews 13:20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You see, Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the greatest shepherd. And if you get an earthly pastor or shepherd, but you don't get the heavenly one, you don't get Jesus Christ, you still don't get what you need. And never follow an earthly shepherd who is leading in a different direction than the good shepherd. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ today? Have you invited him to be your shepherd? Have you invited him to be your Savior, first of all? Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Save me. Give me eternal life. And then come and lead me and guide me. Be the shepherd that I need for my life. Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is he your shepherd? Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Is there anybody here you would say, Pastor, I've not asked Jesus to be my Savior? I need a shepherd today, but I need Jesus most of all. I need the heavenly shepherd. There are things in my life that I need help with. I need the God that you talk about today, the God who is loving, the God who is kind, the God who is gentle, the kind that would be a shepherd to you and gently lead you along. See, shepherds never drive the sheep, they lead them. Jesus is here today. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to lead you in the way that you should go. He wants to lead you in paths of righteousness. Is there anybody here with an uplifted hand? Pastor, pray for me. I've never actually done this. I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior. Could I see your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you this morning. I'd just like to offer prayer for you. Anybody? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? While we're here, just in a moment, quiet moment of contemplation, I would like to say to you again, I'd like to be your pastor. Would you give me your heart? Would you let me pastor you? Everybody needs a pastor. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the great shepherd. We thank you that you bring us beside the still waters. We thank you, Lord, that you restore our soul, that you lead us down paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We thank you that you are with us through every trial, even through the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, your presence is a comfort to us. We thank you for your goodness and mercy that follows us all the days of our life. And may this next part, this last part of this psalm, be true for every one of us. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, first in this house, this church, or wherever we attend church, but then also to dwell in the eternal church, in the eternal city made in the heavens. May that be reality for everyone here. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we sing that hymn, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us? Is that what you're playing? Okay. Page number? 177, or it will be up here in just a moment. Worship team, would you like to come back and help me out here? I hear what I sound like by myself on tape, and I don't like it, so.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, and us be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear thy children when they pray. Blessed Jesus, hear thy children when they pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus.